fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful and a restful weekend as we're heading this week, the final week of Advent, heading into the celebration of Christmas and the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, the astounding gift of the fathers who sent forth his Son into the world out of love for us. And Jesus, the eternal Son of God, took on human flesh and was born of a virgin. Heaven and earth met in the womb of Mary, in the person of Jesus Christ. And everything has changed since that moment. Since he was conceived in the womb of Mary, everything has changed. Humanity now has a future. The human race has the possibility of living for all eternity. That's why the prophetic words from Luke's gospel and others say, "Behold, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. Those who walk in the shadow of death now, the light has come." It's a key theme throughout this Advent season, and we'll hear it at Mass, daily Mass. Some of these readings are given, but also on the weekend, the image of the light that dispels the darkness. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Jesus entering the world brings an entirely new reality. He brings the kingdom of God in his person into enemy-occupied territory, into a fallen and broken world, a world that's in rebellion against him, a world that, as St. John would say in his first letter, said the whole world is in the power of the devil. It's an amazing, striking comment by John. Is it hyperbolic? What is he saying? The whole world is in the power of the devil? He's talking about that dimension of human existence here on earth that is fallen and separated from God, that resists God, resists the will of God. And we can see it all over. And I talk about it quite often on the program, but that's darkness when God's creation, when the crown of God's creation, human beings made in the image and likeness of God, destined to share relationship with God forever, to share in what belongs to him, turns against him in the garden and reaches beyond God's will and purpose. And darkness comes as a result. Sin, rebellion against God, produces that darkness. And so Jesus is the light that enters into a world that's fallen and cannot save itself. It's a race of people that were made to share in God's glory, but have fallen from glory and are under what St. Paul describes in his letter to the Romans as living under the reign of sin, the power of sin and death. And that's the darkness that Jesus, the light of the world, has come to expel, to destroy, to drive out. Humanity was made to be with God forever. Sin separates us from God. God's love is revealed in the rescue of Jesus, who comes to seek and save the lost, who comes to rescue each person, to call them back to the Father, and to make it possible to call them back. You see why, as we reflect on the incarnation and celebrate the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, it wasn't enough to send a prophet, someone with a message, to just say, to point the way and say, go that way, turn around, the direction you're going in, go the opposite direction. Here's what you need to do. We needed more than that. We didn't just need clear directions. We need a new way of life. We need a new power, a new capacity to be lifted out of the life that we're living now, that this reign of sin and death that Scripture talks about. Jesus became one of us. And when he was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Our Lady, the kingdom of God in its victory began to go forth, because it was actually won at that point in a certain way, because heaven and earth had come together in the person of Jesus Christ. The separation of heaven and earth had happened because of Adam and Eve and the reality of sin. Jesus came to bring the two back together again. That's why we rejoice. That's the light that has come. That's why the darkness has been dispelled, because no other religious leader, no other prophetic person in history, no political character, no one, not one person, could bring what Jesus brought. Jesus brought the life of God, eternal life, divine life, indestructible life, God's own life. To be saved means to have received, through the grace of repentance, baptism, and the grace that God has brought through his church, to be saved means to be given that life, a life that makes it possible for us to live with God forever. The first letter of John and John's Gospel touch on these themes quite a bit. The theme of the light, darkness and light, and how the light dispels the darkness, which is very much a part of this entire season, as I was mentioning, this entire season of Lent. For example, I just want to find a couple of passages here from 1 John. God's testimony. It says, "For this is the testimony of God." This is 1 John chapter 5, verse 9 and following. "For this is the testimony of God. He has borne witness to his Son that he's the only Son of God," is the point, right? Verse 11, "And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son has not life." Here's the testimony of the beloved Apostle John. This is the heart of what he communicates to us in his letter, but he also, in the prologue of John's Gospel, which is often read during this season, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Everything that has been made through Jesus Christ." And it says, "In him was life." Here's that life theme. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." This is the season of light, the light that dispels the darkness. What is the light? John tells us in the prologue, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men." It was something, an entirely new reality had entered God's creation. God himself entered his creation. And as John would say in the beginning of his first letter, "What we've seen, what we've touched, what we ourselves know, we declare to you, that the eternal life that was with the Father has appeared to us, and we've seen it, we touched it. This is the testimony we want you to hear. We want you to believe. A reality beyond our wildest imagining has come to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Heaven, God's life, a life no one knew even existed, no mind could even conceive. And that life is in a person who became one of us, so that we could share in that life." Again, 1 John chapter 5, verse 9 and following, "For this is the testimony of God, who bore witness to his Son. God gave us eternal life, and this life, this eternal life, is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who is not the Son of God has not life." Here's why the church exists: to communicate this life to the world. Not just to communicate a message, not just to communicate a set of religious, important religious disciplines or doctrine. It's to communicate a reality. As important as the doctrine is just an attempt to describe the reality of what God has done. And what God has done is he's given us the gift above all other gifts. We're in this season of gift giving. We're preparing. We're scrambling around. Don't forget, in the midst of all the scrambling, what this is all about. Why we're so joyful. Why we want to give. Why we want to do good to people in this season. Because so much has been done for us. The Catholic Church isn't just mobilizing people to say, "Hey, be nice to people. Go buy gifts. Stimulate the economy and do nice things for people." We're motivated by a heart that's filled with an understanding of the gift that we've been given. "For God so loved that he gave his only son. And he gave his only son because in him and through him would come to us all who receive him, all who believed in him, all who follow him in his church, receive the gift of eternal life. As the church proclaims and offers to the world this gift of eternal life, they say, eternal life, where can it be found? As John said, this life is in the Son. It's in Jesus. It flows from Jesus. It flows through Jesus. And it flows to everyone he decides to share it with. And he seeks to give it to everyone. A share in what belongs to him. The victory of a fallen race of people, restored, reestablished, raised to glory in the flesh, in the body, in the person of Jesus Christ. And from him, like a powerful spring, burst forth a new humanity, a new kind of life, a new power and a new capacity to become a new creation. It flows from Jesus. That's the gift. That's the light that's come into the world. That's the reality that we celebrate. And it began in the womb of Our Lady, right there. That's when heaven and earth met in a person, in Jesus of Nazareth. The passage from John chapter 5 goes on to verse 13. I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So John's writing to Christian communities he has some responsibility for. They're new communities he was involved in raising up, and he wants them to remember what's the essence. The essence of Christianity, the essence of Catholicism, the starting point, begins with what God has done for us, not what we're supposed to do in response to God. That's important too. But what's of first importance is God's merciful action, God's gracious gift, the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, and with him, the capacity to live a new way of life and to literally be brought from death to life through the power of the life that's in the person of Jesus. So he said again, I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Do you know, friend, that you have eternal life? In this season, are you appreciating and understanding the great gift that really is meant to fill your heart, fill your mind, fill your life? This is so wonderful, friends. No matter what happens in this world, remember, this world is passing away. It's fading. And no matter what happens, what kind of hardship, what kind of disappointment, everything here is temporary. And the most important thing happening in your life is not what you're achieving here or what disappointments may have happened to you here that you're facing in the struggles, as hard as they are. The church in her compassion wants to stand with you, but the bottom line, the church wants to remind you what this celebration that we are focused on now, moving into Christmas, what this is all about and the difference it makes in your life right here, right now. There's a great prize in you. There's a great gift. It's the life of the King, and no one can ever take that away from you. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.